Hi, this is Jan Miyasaki, the host of the Wednesday 8 o'clock Buzz. Thank you for tuning into WORT. If you like what you're hearing, please consider making a donation at wortfm.org/donate. Joining me is Linda Benesch. Thank you for standing by. She's Communications Director at Social Security Works. She's based in Washington, D.C., where she advocates to expand Social Security, improve Medicare, and lower prescription drug prices. So last week, the Republican Study Committee, which counts nearly 80% of House Republicans as members, released its 2025 budget proposal. That includes about $1.5 trillion in cuts to Social Security benefits. And a number of ways that that would happen would be to raise the retirement age and to end family-based benefits. And then also just another piece to mention and talk about is to take away Medicare's new power to negotiate lower prices on prescription drugs. So Linda Benesch, I'm glad to have you on so you can tell us more about your analysis of this House Republican Study Committee's proposal. Good morning, Linda. Thank you for joining me.
Hey, thank you so much for having me on.
So Linda, you know, what can you, how would this $1.5 trillion in cuts be achieved, cuts in benefits?
Yeah, so I think if you don't mind, I'll start by explaining a little bit about who the Republican Study Committee is that has just proposed all these benefit cuts last week. So they are a caucus that comprises about 80% of the House Republicans, and that includes all of the leadership of the House Republicans, so Speaker Mike Johnson, Elise Stefanik, and just all of the, everyone who's involved in leading and shaping what they do. And so we are just calling this the House Republican Plan for Social Security because that's what it is. This isn't just like some fringe group going out on a limb. This is the House Republicans. So having said that, yeah, this budget would cut $1.5 trillion from Social Security. And the provision that's been getting the most attention, probably because it's just the easiest to understand, is that they would raise the retirement age. And they claim that that's because life expectancy is going up. But what they don't say is that that's very much not the case proportionately among different groups. So, you know, for poorer people, people of color, people with disabilities, it's not going up. But they still say, you know, whether you're an office worker or someone who works on their feet all day long, you should be waiting longer to retire. So that is in there, raising the retirement age. It's tagged to life expectancy. Then they also make a lot of cuts that are, they're intentionally supposed to be like very complicated and difficult to understand. But what they essentially would do is flatten out Social Security checks so that it's moving the program towards everybody getting the same flat benefit instead of the benefit being more linked to how much you put in. And so their goal is basically to turn Social Security into a program where everyone gets the same very low benefit, and it's not a guaranteed earned benefit where what you earn is linked to what you put in. So they want to undermine the political popularity of Social Security and turn it into the type of program that Republicans love to deride as welfare and destroy.
And how would they achieve that flattening?
So essentially what it does is it says if you make more than a certain amount, and I believe it's tagged at about $85,000 a year, then your benefits are going to get reduced because they're what they would define as wealthy. But in fact, in many, many parts of the country, you know, like especially depending on, you know, are you a single income household, double, but, you know, that's very much like middle class, sometimes not even upper middle class. And we really see this as just a start. Like they're starting with people who make an on average $85,000 a year or more, and then they're just going to keep cutting deeper into the middle class. That's the goal. They really want to turn it into a flat poverty level benefit for everyone. And then on top of that, not only do they reduce the benefit checks for those folks, but they're also getting rid of the spousal and children's benefits for people who make over $85,000 a year. So that means if a worker making above that amount dies, their children won't get benefits, even though it's still incredibly necessary for those households. And that, you know, say we, there's a, since it usually, you know, tends to go this way, although not always, there's a male worker who's making, say, $86,000 a year. He's married to a wife who's a stay-at-home mom. And right now, even if she doesn't have Social Security credits, she can claim on his benefit and get half of his benefit. That's the spousal benefit. So this would get rid of that so that they would have to live on the husband's Social Security alone.
Now, is this legislation separate from the one that includes this budget proposal, separate from the budget proposal that includes the, quote, fiscal commission?
Yes. So it is, but I would say they're linked because basically the fiscal commission, that's a proposal that a lot of Republicans and a small handful of corporate Democrats have been pushing, where they would create a closed-door commission, go do a special fast-track process, not regular congressional order, and essentially go behind closed doors, emerge with Social Security and Medicare cuts. And so the commission is more about process, and it's the way that they would get some of these cuts in their budget proposal through. Because if you do it through regular order in the light of day, like cutting Social Security is incredibly unpopular with Democratic, Republican, independent voters alike. We have numbers like 90% of everyone opposes cuts. And so that's why they feel like they need to do it behind closed doors. Now, there is some good news on that front, at least for now. I believe your last guest was mentioning that Congress just passed a big spending bill, and that was the most likely vehicle for them to attach their commission to. But fortunately, it passed through without the commission, and that really, you know, grassroots activists around the country, people raising their voices helped a lot with that. So just really a lot of appreciation for everyone who spoke out against the commission. And we're still going to be very much keeping an eye on that, advocating against it. And it's certainly quite possible that it rears its ugly head in the future. But there's been a reprieve on that one.
So, you know, trying to, and you're right, when I read about this, it seems to be much more confusing than it needs to be. But what isn't confusing, I think, in the messaging in the mainstream is this message that Social Security doesn't work, that it's going to fall off a cliff. That just seems to be accepted, and then they talk about the proposals. Is that, and you guys are called Social Security Works, right? So tell me, does it work?
Absolutely. So Social Security, it's incredibly effective, incredibly popular. It keeps millions of people out of poverty every year. There's over 1.3 million beneficiaries just in Wisconsin alone. And Social Security, it does work. And the people who want you to think that it doesn't, who use scaremongering terms like, oh, it's going bankrupt or broke, like, it's basically a ploy to get people to accept benefit cuts now to prevent benefit cuts later. And the truth is that Social Security is strong. Like, it does have a modest shortfall. It's about 10 years away. And so that means that if Congress does absolutely nothing, benefits would be cut by about 20% starting in 2034. But as long as there are people paying into Social Security, there will be people getting benefits. And then in terms of preventing that automatic benefit cut that's 10 years away, the way to do that is to require the wealthiest Americans, millionaires, billionaires, to pay in at the same rate as the rest of us. And right now, they don't have to pay in on all of their wage income for the ones who have that. But in addition, they're not paying in at all on unearned investment income, which is how most of the wealthiest people in this country actually get most of their money. And so I want to give President Biden some credit here. He's released his own budget proposal within the last few weeks. And that one, it draws a red line. It says absolutely no cuts to Social Security. very strong language there that we'd like to see. And then it calls for protecting and, in fact, strengthening and improving benefits by requiring the ultra wealthy to pay their fair share.
All right. So if we eliminate the tax, the cap on the taxable maximum on earnings, and then the payroll tax increase, and on these other kinds of income, what does that do to that 10-year horizon?
Yeah, so right now, Social Security income, it's capped at $168,000. If you make above that amount, you don't have to pay in on their additional on your additional income. And so, like a lot of wealthy people, they're already done paying into Social Security for 2024. And so Democrats in Congress have several different proposals for ways to improve it and to remove this cap, have the wealthy pay their fair share. And some of the details vary. Like, for example, President Biden has vowed no tax increases on anyone making less than $400,000 a year. So some of them kind of create a donut hole between $168,000 and $400,000 to comply with that. But the gist of the proposals are generally the same. It's more revenue from the ultra-rich, and then that's used to strengthen and improve Social Security. And so Bernie Sanders and Elizabeth Warren in the Senate, and then Jan Schakowsky is the sponsor in the House, they have a bill called the Social Security Expansion Act. That would raise the cap for income above $250,000, as well as unearned investment income. And then that would get you Social Security solvency for the foreseeable future, decades and decades to come, and would also increase benefits for everyone by $200 a month. So that's one way to do it.
So people across, whether Republican or Democrat, support Social Security. Can you say, and I'm reading here about 71% of Republican voters. So what's the disconnect?
Yeah, so I would say the disconnect there, it's mainly that Republicans, they're good at hiding their proposals, you know, like we were talking about. A lot of times it's cloaked in very complex language. It's not meant for regular people to understand. It's supposed to be in this DC insider code. You know, they use the word entitlements all the time, pejoratively, instead of just saying Social Security, Medicare, and they say things. It's Orwellian. They say, oh, we want to save Social Security. We want to strengthen Social Security, when what they really mean is cut. And so, you know, we see our job at Social Security Works is informing and explaining to people what that really means. But, you know, they are very smart most of the time about using weasel words to conceal what they really want to do. But sometimes it comes out, and, you know, we would see this budget as an example of that, as well as, you know, a couple of weeks ago, Donald Trump actually went on TV and said that there's a lot that you can do to cut so-called entitlements, by which he meant Social Security, Medicare, and Medicaid. So, you know, he actually came out and said it, and we've been, you know, really trying to shine a light on that, as well as many others. And so our hope is that in this election, where the difference between Republicans and Democrats on Social Security is about as wide a gulf as it's been in decades, like, people are really going to see where each party stands.
And just circling back, as far as we can tell from the budget that came out last week, it does not include the fiscal commission idea, right? That would be kind of fast-tracking any kind of change.
Yeah. So that would have been, if it was going to pass, most likely attached to the government funding bill that also passed last week. There's been a lot happening in Congress. And in theory, like, there are other vehicles that it could be attached to, but that was always the biggest risk, at least until September, which is the next time that they're going to have to worry about funding the government, because this bill that passed last week basically keeps it going until then. And so we're, you know, still, like, always concerned and vigilant about this commission, but that was a pretty big victory that the government funding bill passed without it, because even the lead Republicans who are pushing their commission they've been saying all along, the way to get this is to force it through by attaching it to a must-pass government spending bill.
Now, you are working on a petition to expand Social Security. So can you talk about that? And, you know, that can really run in the face of people's belief that Social Security is going to go bankrupt. So can you talk about the petition to expand Social Security?
Yeah, so Social Security, you know, so many people in the media, right, or politicians will talk about it like it's a problem. But in fact, Social Security is a solution. It's a solution to the fact that a lot of people, you know, don't have enough income to have a retirement to the standard of living that that they deserve. And, you know, it's a solution to poverty. It, you know, if you change the funding structure, it can be a solution to inequality. And by expanding Social Security, you really address all of those things. Like, the only problem with Social Security is that benefits are too low, you know, for many people to really live off of. And so we have really been working along with a lot of our allies around the country and in Congress to change that and make the case that, no, we don't need to cut Social Security. We need to expand Social Security and increase the benefits. And generally, that means both an across-the-board increase for everyone and then also some additional targeted increases for certain vulnerable groups, you know, like the poorest beneficiaries, widows and widowers, people who take time out of the paid workforce to care for their loved ones, and others. So, yeah, very much, you know, we're fighting to expand and protect Social Security.
And that includes protecting Medicare as well. Can you comment on that? And then also circling back to the goal to take away that new power to negotiate prescription drug costs. Where's that at?
Yeah, so Democrats a little while back, they passed a bill called the Inflation Reduction Act, and that included for the first time ever some power for Medicare to negotiate lower prices on prescription drugs. And it's on some of the key prescription drugs, not on all of them at this point, but it's a really good starting point. It's something that politicians, including Donald Trump, have promised to do for years and never gotten done. And Joe Biden, you know, is the one who did get it done. And what that this would do is like give Medicare the power to actually use its purchasing power as such a large program and say to big pharma companies, like, no, you're not going to charge us whatever price you want. We're actually going to negotiate with you. We're going to bring prices down. And then this is going to save money for the government, but it's also going to save money for Medicare beneficiaries and let people keep more of their Social Security checks that they earn in their own pockets. So, you know, it's pretty seismic that this is something that was actually able to get through Congress over the objections of Big Pharma, which is one of the most powerful lobbies in Washington. And right now the government and the pharma companies are in the negotiating process. So this is something that's going to be kicking in soon. People will start seeing savings. But in the Republican Study Committee budget, they say that they want to completely repeal this power, not give Medicare any authority to negotiate, and let Big Pharma keep charging as much as it wants for prescription drugs. So, you know, when Republicans claim to be fiscally responsible, they're lying. Like, if it benefits their Big Pharma donors, they're happy to have both the government and Medicare beneficiaries keep getting completely ripped off by pharma.
So how would that happen? It's in the bill that passed, and have they taken any additional step other than the report to get rid of that power yet?
So some Republicans have introduced legislation, yes, that would get rid of it. And at this point, like, it's not going to pass because Democrats control the Senate and the White House. But what they say in this Republican Study Committee budget is that if Republicans were to have full control over Congress and the White House, then it is absolutely their intention to completely repeal the Medicare negotiation.
Well, that's chilling. I'm speaking with Linda Benesch, Communications Director at Social Security Works. Hey, Linda, you know, as soon as when I read this, and I just want to let listeners know that Social Security Works is a go-to site for me to learn more about this stuff because there's so much out there. And I knew if I looked at what you guys had posted, at least I would get a better grip on all of this stuff. So I really appreciate you joining me this morning. Before I before we conclude, any other legislative updates that I've missed?
Yeah, I would say you covered it pretty well. Like, you know, now that Congress has passed their big funding bill, like, you know, everyone is kind of going to be in campaign mode between now and November for the most part. So there's not too much more major legislation that we expect to pass, but you never know, things can come up. And so, you know, I would certainly encourage people to check out our website at socialsecurityworks.org, where if there are updates either on the legislative front or just on the political front, like if Donald Trump decides to run his mouth about Social Security again, if congressional Republicans release another proposal, we'll certainly be informing people of that. And we also plan to be going around the country between now and November endorsing congressional candidates who support protecting and expanding Social Security. So there'll be updates on that on our website, and we're also on pretty much every social media platform, Facebook, Threads, Instagram, TikTok, Twitter, whatever you want to call it these days. We're there.
Thank you. Linda Benesch, she is Communications Director at Social Security Works. Hey, thanks for speaking with me this morning. It was great to hear from you.
Bye-bye. Thank you so much for having me on.